August 12th. I've been thinking a lot about the quilt I'm going to make Daryl, and also about how I'm going to hide the fact from Daryl that I'm making him a quilt. It will be easier now that Daryl's spending so much time in his studio. He's treating it like an office where he has a part-time job. After a leisurely breakfast, he spends the morning out back, and then he goes to his studio again for a couple of hours in the afternoon, most days. I'm happy to report that he's trained his friends to go through the backyard when they come to visit, instead of ringing the doorbell so that I have to stop whatever I'm doing to answer the door and then walk whoever it is, Brad or David or any other half a dozen men of the cloth, through the house, to the porch, and out to the studio. Speaking of the men of the cloth, did I mention they're talking about having their own show? Not just for the guys who hang out in Daryl's studio, but for all male quilters in the area. I guess it's a good idea. I'm always a little wary when men come into traditionally female spaces and start to take them over in a show-offy kind of way. I mean, I don't mind at all when men cook. In fact, I love it when Daryl is in charge of dinner, and I know plenty of couples where the husbands do all of the cooking. But when men decide to get serious about cooking, to go beyond being a proficient or modestly good home cook into the realm of the expert, well, it can get on my nerves. I always want to say, your mom did the same thing you're doing, but backwards, in high heels, or while organizing the PTA bake sale and feeding a toddler. Now, I have no problem with men quilting. It's fun that Daryl quilts, especially because we're more or less in different quilting spheres. We have lots to talk about without stepping on each other's toes. Maybe it took me a minute or two to get used to the fact that my husband is a quilter, but it's been over a year now, and I'm perfectly fine with it. I think it's cool he's found men quilting friends. It means he has someone besides me to geek out over gear with. I am a very simple girl when it comes to rulers and gadgets. I have a total of 5 rulers, and I use maybe 2 of them on a regular basis. I have a few pairs of scissors, 2 rotary cutters, 1 large, 1 small, and 6 different sewing feet, 3 of which I use with any regularity, quarter-inch foot, walking foot, and the darning foot for free-motion quilting. I have 0 interest in discussing any of them. Daryl would happily spend hours discussing all of them ad nauseam. So, yay for the men of the cloth. But I still don't know how I feel about a men-only quilt show. Maybe it's because up until the last 60 years or so, almost everything but quilting was men-only. On the other hand, I can tell that Daryl's enjoying his new quilting friends, and they're talking about doing it as a fundraiser for the Milton Falls Rescue Mission. Who could complain about that? Back to Daryl's quilt. When I went to Thimble Pleasures yesterday to brainstorm with Sheila, she suggested a modern traditional pattern. It would be a quilt where both of your worlds meet, she said, as she gestured for me to follow her to her office. Let me show you some patterns I like from this designer named Blair Stockton out in New Mexico. Emily just bought her book, Wildcraft Quilts, and I have to say I love her aesthetic. It somehow manages to be modern traditional and scrappy at the same time. Most of the modern traditional quilts I see lean hard into solids and negative space. Blair's have more maximalist tendencies. I gently placed my hand on Sheila's forehead. Are you okay, honey? You sound like some PBS talking head. The tiniest bit of pink rose in Sheila's cheeks. I'm trying to speak more effectively about quilts, how to describe how they look, you know, for YouTube. I've never noticed that you had any trouble describing quilts. I said as I took a seat next to her at the big table in her office, where she had her laptop set up. Why do you think you need to change the way you speak for YouTube?
It's just something Carol suggested, Sheila shrugged. She's done TV, you know, in Columbus.
Sheila said Columbus the same way you might say Paris or Milan. What? Was she the weather girl? I asked.
She reported on local school events in the 1980s and early 90s, Sheila told me, tapping on her keyboard. She's had experience in front of the camera.
She's teaching me how not to say so much. I never thought of you as an ummer.
I never thought of myself that way either. Oh, here are some of Blair's quilts. Aren't they darling? But Carol has watched me and Emily practice some presentations for our YouTube channel, and she says I'm prone to umming.
Well, now you're prone to sounding like John Houseman.
Oh, I loved him in The Paper Chase. Didn't you?
Sheila sat up straighter and put on a stern expression. Mr. Hart, here is a dime. Take it, call your mother, and tell her there is serious doubt about you ever becoming a lawyer.
Remember when it only cost a dime to make a phone call?
Remember phone booths? I asked. When was the last time you saw one?
Oh, 100 years at least. Oh, Marn, look at this pattern. Estrella. Don't you love those stars? And those colors?
I examined the quilt on the screen. It really was darling. And it wasn't just stars. There were tiny nine patches and bear claws along the sides, framing a series of smaller and larger stars in the middle. I knew I could have figured out the pattern for myself, but A, I also knew it would go a lot faster if someone else had already done the math for me, and B, it always seems a little unfair, or a lot unfair to do that. Well, that's a whole discussion, isn't it? On the one hand, it really irritates me when quilt designers put a few Ohio stars together and want you to pay $13 for their quote-unquote hard work. But the pattern I was looking at was very clever. There was a lot more going on than initially met the eye. I think I'm going to buy it, I told Sheila. It is the very definition of modern traditional, not to mention that it looks like a lot of fun to make.
It does, doesn't it?
Sheila looked at the quilt for a moment.
I think Daryl will love it. That is, if you actually make it.
What do you mean? It's mid-August. I have plenty of time. Famous last words, Marn, Sheila scolded.
Buy the pattern, and then we'll print it out and shop for fabrics.
So I'm sitting here with a pile of new fabric in front of me. Whee! In all sorts of amazing colors. And now all I've got to do is start cutting, which I will do later this afternoon. Right now, I need to go make lunch. Do not give me that look, diary. I will start cutting this afternoon. Just you watch. August 20th. Okay, so maybe I didn't start cutting out fabric the day I bought it. That would be overkill, don't you think? Showing off. If I have it cut by August 25th, I will be well ahead of schedule. Miles and months ahead. I'm good. Get off my back, diary. Also, things have been busy with the grandkids, though I'm pleased to announce that Taylor and Tyler are back in preschool. It's early days, but so far the reports have been good. And we have our fingers crossed that Tyler has reformed and will go forth and sin no more. Interesting tidbit. Jessica told me that she thinks Taylor is keeping Tyler under control. It's not that Taylor was that upset about getting kicked out of camp because of Tyler's bad behavior. Jessica says Tyler was more upset, cried more, whined more, begged more frequently to go back. And that's what upset Taylor. He hated how unhappy Tyler was, and somehow this little kid, Taylor, knew that his brother would be happier if he behaved himself. It's a sight to see, Tyler getting a gleam in his eye like he's looking for something, or someone, to knock down or draw on or upset, and then Taylor stepping in to distract him. Again, is it fair that Taylor has to play this role in his brother's life? That Tyler's behavior, good or bad, determines if Taylor is going to get to stay in camp or preschool? Honestly, I think it might be time for the boys to be separated more, even though it would mean more work for Jessica and Sam. Taylor is constantly getting overshadowed by his louder, more aggressive brother. Tyler calls the shots in that relationship, and while Taylor seems perfectly fine with their arrangement, Tyler decides what they're going to play or watch or get obsessed with. It would be good for him to decide for himself what he wants for lunch or whether he's truly fascinated by farm equipment. But it's not my place to say anything. MYOB, am I right? You're exactly right, Haley Wilde told me this morning as we were drinking coffee before the Quilt Museum board meeting began. Listen, I have 4 adorable grandkids who are being raised all wrong. But I learned my lesson early on when I said something to my daughter-in-law, who I adore, by the way, about nursing. She wanted to stop after 3 months, and like an idiot, I mentioned that I read it's really good for the baby if the mother can keep nursing until the baby is at least 1. Flannery, that's my daughter-in-law, just nodded and smiled. But my son called me later that night and read me the riot act. He was right. I should have kept my mouth shut. Nowadays, I don't give advice unless someone asks me for it. We continued to chat as we made our way to the table. I still have a hard time believing that I'm friends with Haley Wilde. She's got quilts and galleries and museums all over the world. And she's really cool, in a really nice way. Sometimes I can't help but wonder what she was like in high school. Was she a popular girl hiding her artistic talent underneath a cloud of hairspray and arpège? Or was she a weirdo who spent lunch in the art room? I'll have to ask her someday. Today's meeting was about how to make Florence Grangerfield's house user-friendly. We have to abide by local fire codes, which means there can't be more than 50 people in the house at any given time. Most days this won't be a problem, Darla said. Traffic during the week will most likely be quiet. Weekends might be a problem, though, and tour groups might be a problem. I'm thinking if a larger guild wants to come to the museum. Could we add on to the house? Mimi Pressler asked. Amazingly, Orange Street hasn't been named a historic district. Not yet, at least. So we can make changes or additions if Leo gives us permission. And if somebody gives us a lot of money, a woman named Christy Caswell added, we'd have to do some serious fundraising. Maybe expansion could be a part of our second tier of development, Haley said. Because if we focus our energy on fundraising for an addition to the museum itself will never get off the ground. Everyone agreed to table talk of expanding the museum until we actually got the museum up and running. I've never been in a group where there's been so much accord. There are 6 of us on the board, me, Haley, Darla, Mimi, Christy, and a woman named Amy Mueller, who, it turns out, is Florence Grangerfield's great-niece and Darla's cousin. I find both Darla and Amy amazingly democratic, given that they're both related to the woman who owned this house and helped put Milton Falls on the map. They could totally rule over the group, but instead they're always asking the rest of us for our opinions and ideas and taking lots and lots of notes. The vibe is very different at the Peacemakers Quilt Show Committee meetings. It's not terrible or anything, but in case you're wondering, Marianne Knight is very much in charge. She's decided that we need a special exhibit at this year's show, and since the show is at the Ag Center, the theme should be Down on the Farm with Quilts, which, to be honest, is kind of a great idea. Only the show is next month, and right now all we have is a couple of quilts featuring chickens. I'll put the word out to all the guilds in the Tri-City area, Marianne announced at the meeting last week. We'll waive the fee for non-guild members. If we could get 30 quilts... Betsy Wiggins raised an eyebrow. 30 in less than a month? Okay, 20, Marianne conceded. But it needs to be 20, at least, or else it's not much of an exhibit. She's right about that, but she's also putting a lot more on the committee's plate. When someone mentioned this, Marianne shrugged and said, Don't worry, I've got friends who can help out with this kind of thing. She made it sound like she had mob connections. Knowing Marianne, she probably does. The funny thing is, she is doing a pretty great job getting the show organized. It takes a lot of work, but she's doing it. The fact is, it's a good thing to have a strong leader when it comes to putting on a quilt show. Don't get me wrong, by the time this is all over, feathers will have been ruffled, rifts will have formed, fissures will have split many a longtime friendship, and at least two people will quit the guild in protest. But ladies and gentlemen, the show will go on. All we need are 2 dozen pig and cow quilts, and we will be good to go. August 26th. My parents are moving to Milton Falls in 3 days. This is all happening very fast, and I'm not sure that I'm ready. The apartment that they're moving into was supposed to open up in June, but construction on the new wing took longer than anticipated. Of course, construction always takes longer than anticipated, which is why I thought I had a few more months to prepare myself for the big move. Turns out I didn't. Janet got the news last week that the apartment was ready. She immediately hired a service to pack up Mom and Dad's apartment in Phoenix and another service to get everything unpacked in the new apartment before Mom and Dad are set to move in. She is very organized, my sister. Where will they stay when their stuff's en route? I asked when Janet called to update me on the latest. With friends in Phoenix? Or will they come here and stay with you? They're flying here the day before their apartment gets packed up, my sister informed me, which is on Friday, and they'll be staying with you until the apartment is ready on Monday because I won't be here. I've got a conference in Akron. They're staying with me? I could hear the note of panic in my voice. My house was a mess, my fridge was empty, and Daryl was going on a quilting retreat with the men of the cloth this weekend. Could you have given me maybe a little bit more notice? What do you need notice for? You're retired and you have 2 spare bedrooms. Mom and Dad don't eat very much. In fact, I'm going to text you a list of foods that they like. Which she did. So I spent the afternoon cleaning and then went to the grocery store to pick up yogurt, skim milk, eggs, and Slim Jims. The Slim Jims are for me. They're my stress eating go-to. It's going to be fine, I know. My parents may have some memory loss, or in my dad's case, a lot of memory loss. But they can still take care of themselves, can still have conversations and go for walks. Really, I think this is going to be a lot of fun, just like old times. Hey, maybe if I want it to really be like old times, I could invite Sheila over for a sleepover. Sheila's always been good with my parents. I think she's actually the younger daughter they always wished they had. I'm going to go call her now. See you on the other side. Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Mad Quilter and for being a Story Guild subscriber. Keep tuning in for more quilt fiction and more quilty fun.